Welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, October 10th, 2020, week five of the high school football season in. Yeah, we made it that far. Let's first thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're open along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway for convenient drive-up services. And they're always open at cacl.fcu.org. You won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. And my fiduciary partner here today, and we'll talk football coming up. We also have to thank Phoenix Physical Therapy, where you can recover, recharge, and rise with convenient locations in Pottsville, Orwigsburg, Frackville, Pine Grove, and Gratz. Bobby Dusso and the gang getting JP dancing again, and they can do the same for you. And also Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, along that Tumbling Run Road, and the whole milk, the skim milk, the full line of iced tea and fruit drink products. Not so smooth, or not too smooth, not too mellow. The raspberry and diet raspberry decaf iced teas from Gears Dairy. And John, I'm having a trouble this morning. I don't know about you.
Well, there was a lot of mercy rules going on last night. I think we're all recovering. But for this time in the season, you're looking at some teams that are really coming on very quickly. And nobody bigger than that Tri-Valley team that had a wait out a couple extra weeks, but boy, I'll tell you what, they opened firing both weeks.
Yeah, it's been a kind of crazy night last night when you take a look at things, but maybe what we shall do first here, JP, is take a look at the scores from last evening, and let's run them down before we get to talking about the games. We'll be joined by Mike Farr, the head coach of the Schuylkill Haven Hurricanes, at the bottom of the hour. And those Hurricanes last night beating Shenandoah Valley 62-6. In Pine Grove, the Crimson Tide on the road down the Cardinals 27-7. Blue Mountain shut out Tomaqua 28-0. Williams Valley pummeled Panther Valley 49-20. Nativity knocked off Minersville 42-7. You talked about those Tri-Valley Bulldogs, a 40-7 win over Monoy area. North Schuylkill shut out Marion Catholic 48-0. Jim Thorpe beat Lee Hyten 37-6 last night. Warrior Run pitches a 2-0 forfeit win over Mount Carmel area. Central Mountain beat Shamokin 41-27. Hamburg fell to Conrad Weiser 39-8. Tonight, Berwick is at Hazleton area at 7 p.m. So, some things stick out to you there, JP?
Well, the saddest one, obviously, is the Mount Carmel situation. And just so people know, it was not COVID. It was an alleged hazing incident that was reported by the Mount Carmel Police Department. And there's a big investigation going on. Be interesting to see how that thing turns out. And you know, I'm just being honest. After being around for so many years, I was hoping those things were a thing of the past. But it's under investigation. Greg Sakavage got out in front of it right away. They forfeited that game, and remains to be seen what will happen for the rest of the season for Mount Carmel. But I think two of the biggies last night, I don't know if you want to call them surprise, the difference in scoring in the Tri-Valley game against Monoy area. Monoy area was playing very well. That was a little bit of a surprise. The other one, I got to tell you, I thought Blue Mountain all along, they had been snake bitten. A lot of people picked against them in last night's game, but
I think everybody did.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a complete surprise. I think they were loaded and just weren't able to pull a trigger. Some of the earlier games came up with a big win last night.
Well, it was interesting, the take on that one at the Eagles' Nest. And we talked about how snake-bitten they were the week before against Pine Grove. But last night, the Eagle defense comes out, does not give up 200 yards of total offense to Tomaqua. Tomaqua got their 190 yards on the ground, but no Tomako running back reaching the century mark alone. And that's pretty good defensive effort when you can hold guys like Nate Kirby and Shikram and Wickersham to low numbers rushing. You've got the opportunity to win.
Yeah, they have a rushing machine. They don't throw the ball very often. Blue Mountain came up big there, but, you know, Hensley, all year long, Chaz, this young man has really stepped up. Last night, he had a fumble return for a touchdown. He caught a pass for a touchdown, and then he ran in a two-point conversion. And Blue Mountain, with a couple personnel changes last night, with Bartholomew moving to quarterback. The 6'7 wide receiver steps into a quarterback role and comes out big, not only throwing the ball, but also running.
Yeah, it seems to really have changed the motion of the ocean there. I think the other thing that Corey Mabry talked to us about last week, John, was the fact that the Eagles were committing more turnovers than they were getting touchdowns at that point. Now, I may be exaggerating a little bit, I'll admit it, but that's what it seemed like. And last night, the Eagles do not turn the football over, and they get two fumbles from Tomakwa to win the ballgame.
Big difference. We talked to Corey. Corey was very honest about that. But that was a big deal. They didn't throw any interceptions, and they didn't put the ball on the ground at all. So they had no fumbles, of course, no fumble recoveries by the Tomako Blue Raiders. But a well-played game. I got to believe Corey was a lot happier last night. Walking off the field the other night against Pine Grove, you could almost see the frustration. It came down to mistakes. Well, they got rid of those mistakes, made a few changes, and they're back on the winning side.
So Bartholomew, 8-13 passing for 160 yards last night, and led by Hensley's 4 catches for 82 yards, and Eman Parker getting the motion going on the ground, 5 carries, 75 yards. Not a bad average there.
No, not bad. And again, 7 different running backs for Blue Mountain. They stay with their basic plan.
Now, you and I are going to see the Eagles once again this coming Thursday when they travel to Lee Heighton. And last night, Lee Heighton didn't really show up against Jim Thorpe. And the Olympians capture the Route 209 trophy with 23 unanswered points in the second quarter and win 37-6. I mean, 3 J.J. McDowell carries and a Rich Fraunheiser pass to Zach Hunsicker set up Lee Heighton at a first down at the Jim Thorpe 31. But Drew Wimmer intercepted a pass at the 10-yard line to end that threat, and that seemed to set the tone for the Lee Heighton offense as well as the Red Swarm defense.
Yeah, and that Lee Heighton offense the week before went absolutely crazy. So the Red Swarm is back. Jim Thorpe with a lot of big games coming up. We have a lot of big games coming up in the next couple weeks, Chaz.
So for the Red Swarm defense last night, John, are you ready? They hold Lee Heighton's passing attack to 67 yards, aided by 4 interceptions by the Olympians and 3 batted pass attempts at the line of scrimmage.
The damage that defensive lines have caused to a lot of quarterbacks, you're going to see it again when we talk about the Pottsville game. What they've done in not only defending the pass, but getting to the passer, making him get out of his rhythm. And Fraunheiser is the real deal. Let's be honest here. Set all kind of records last week. But that defense changes games so quickly, and Jim Thorpe lives and dies with it.
Yeah, the week before the Olympians struggle against North Schuylkill, but boy, they put it all together this week at practice, and you and I will be in Lee Heighton, possibly on top of the press box, on Thursday night as Blue Mountain and Lee Heighton get set to mix things up.
We'll feel the wind rushing through our hair. Never mind.
Boy, you like taking a shot at my follicle challengedness, huh? I am follically challenged. It's okay.
Oh, that's okay. You always wear a hat. Nobody knows.
Speaking of follically challenged individuals, Tom McGoey takes his Crimson Tide to Pine Grove last night in the first ever meeting between the schools. And Ponzo puts together a ball game. Balance, 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 and comes away with a win.
Absolutely. You bring up balance. It was 178 on the ground, 191 through the air. I talked to Jay Snow's dad yesterday, and he said he was a little banged up with the ankle, but he had a tremendous game last night. He ran one in for a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass, just did a great job for the Crimson Tide, and Walchuk came up big, which doesn't surprise anybody. 19 carries, 115 yards, and he banged it into the end zone twice.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Snow. 191 yards through the air, a 10 of 14 with an interception performance. Only missing his target four times, John. Five times if you count the interception. But that's a pretty decent night for the young man. And it seems as if Pottsville's line is putting it all together here.
That's correct. And when you look at it, the line again, I was reading the article, six sacks of Pine Grove. They chased Leininger out of the pocket so often, many times, catching him. But here's one of those statistics. Leininger last night, we know the young man can run. He's got a real good game. 11 carries for negative 16 yards. Now, that usually translates into those sacks. But we're seeing this in a lot of games. Defensive lines not allowing opposing quarterbacks to set their feet and throw. Now, I don't think that happened in Spartanland last night, but
Shea Morgan, John, 87 yards receiving on six catches, and the Pottsville defense holding Pine Grove to 45 yards on the ground.
Yeah, when you look at those numbers, and we know what Josh Leininger can do throwing the football, but Morgan, again, he's one of the premier guys. He and Giese both had decent games, but Pottsville dominant in this game by halftime.
Well, you talked about North Schuylkill there. You made mention of their victory over the Colts of Marion Catholic. North Schuylkill putting 42 points on the board by halftime. And, well, everybody else got into the ball game, I understand. Wally Hall, the gentleman's code of getting everybody some varsity action.
He did. Wally is so laid back. He just is when you interview him. And certain things he doesn't talk about a lot, but let's talk about his young lad last night, Jake. 18 of 27, 340 yards, five touchdown passes in the first half. He had that, and Wally called off the dogs. And again, we'll mention it when we get to Nativity, but we talk about the camaraderie. We talk about how much these coaches respect one another, and we saw that last night. In a big way in the North Schuylkill Marion game.
You know, five touchdown passes to four different receivers. Gavin Whalen had a pair of touchdown receptions. Dietz with another one, Stanakis with one, Walla Cabbage with another one, and then Josh Chowanski does what Josh Chowanski does and rips one 70 yards. That one carry was 70. He had touched the ball four other times for a total of 106 yards. And Walla Cabbage continues his torrid pace, four catches for 106 yards.
Yeah, you look at that, and I don't use this word often, they're gaudy numbers. They really are. The North Schuylkill offense, on very few plays, very often comes up with a tremendous amount of yardage, those big yardage plays, and they're stomping around, and they have a big game coming up this week.
Oh, yes. The Crimson Tide will be entertaining the Spartans in the city next Friday night here on WPPA.
Athens, they never welcomed Sparta. Never. They're going to allow them to come in, but you do not welcome Spartans.
Last night, John, we had the opportunity to take in Nativity and Minersville and the battle in the backyard, and it was all Nativity early, all Nativity often. They cruised out to a 35-0 halftime lead. The first possession goes one play of the second half, 42-0, and Pat Mason calls off the tide wave of Nativity.
And even right at halftime, they had another opportunity before the half. They had scored late in that first half and then got the ball back and in a classy move went to victory formation for two plays. Pat let the clock run out, left the field. That shows such great respect within this league, and that was great. But Cody Miller, my goodness, it was just incredible. He ended up with three passing touchdowns and he ran to win. But they had, again, gaudy numbers from a lot of people last night.
Indeed. Miller, 6 carries, 78 yards in those two scores that you made reference to. He was 7 of 13 with an interception for 86 yards. Actually, Miller did not throw the interception for 186. A balanced attack, though, last night. 220 on the ground, 186 through the air. And Pat Mason has the wave moving in the right direction.
He does, and it's a young wave. I mean, he has a couple stalwarts in there that are a little older, but he's young. He's young, and they share the ball a lot. I mean, I thought Spolsky had a terrific game again last night, catching the ball, running the ball. I mean, they have a lot of weapons, Jazz.
Spolsky, 3 receptions for 86 yards. Schreffler, 1, which was a touchdown for 60. Jacob Hoffman running the ball, 10 carries, 72 yards. He also caught 2 passes for 37 yards. But Jared Grafe with the lone score for the Battling Miners with a 46-yard interception return. And boy, oh boy, Nativity is that Class A bracket through the playoffs is going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it again with Tri-Valley getting back into it and these other teams stepping up. And let's give a shout-out to Grafe because he, in the second half, let's just be honest here, Minersville is so banged up. It's like a MASH unit when you look out there trying to piece kids together. And these kids played their hearts out. Grafe had to go in to be the regular running back in the second half. Did a great job running the football. And, of course, I think it was only right that he ended up with a touchdown on that interception return.
Well, you talked about them Tri-Valley Bulldogs, and last night was week 2 for Tri-Valley, and they went up against the Mono area team that at points this season has looked like a real contender in that Class A race. I mean, last week, they take Williams Valley wire to wire. They lose 28-20. And they come into last night, and I think you've got a hungry pack of dogs on your hand. They hold the area's leading touchdown maker to just 1 touchdown on the night. In fact, it was Mono area's only touchdown on the night.
Yeah, we knew that they were going to be loaded offensively, but their defense really stepped up last night. And when you look at the Valley teams last night, the Herb boys, I mean, there were Herbs everywhere, everywhere, and Chase Herb was outstanding.
213 yards on 22 carries for Chase Herb last night with a hat trick of touchdowns, a 9-yard run, a 38-yard run, and another 9-yard run. Now, our good friend Joey Shimo gave me a call last night after I gave you curb service to the door, and he's in typical Joey fashion here, and I quote, "Yo, Tri-Valley, they're the real deal." That's what Joey told me last night. Yo, I'm telling you,
he's our big, yo man.
They're big, yo, they're fast, and he was just impressed with what he saw last night in the Valley of the Dolls.
You got that right. Who let those dogs out? Jeff Sampson. And they got out of the gate late. But I got to tell you what, they're taking a bite out of this this league very early.
Here's the telling statistics, all right? Ben Terry last night, 17 carries, 59 yards. Ben Manley, 12 carries, 57 yards. Cole McGrady, 8 carries for 21 yards. Overall for Tri-Valley, they hold the Mono area running attack to 161 yards. Now, this is a team that's probably averaging well over 300 yards a game rushing. They hold them to half of that. In fact, there's games where Mono area doesn't attempt to pass. Paul Babinski turned it on last night. 9 attempts. Problem was, they only completed 2 with an interception for 16 yards.
That defense is really dictating games that we've seen recently. I don't know if it's because of the delay this year, but defenses have stepped up all around this league, and we're seeing it in so many games that they turn around and shut down, let's say, even a big rushing team to under 100 yards sometimes. That's quite an accomplishment.
You know, talking about offenses not clicking just yet, I think you could say that's been the case for Williams Valley. Their passing game was what they wanted to look for and rely upon this season, and it seemed to be a little syncopation that was needed for young Mr. Herb and his receivers. Last night, Bryce steps up and throws for 308 in the wind, while Jesse Engel is breaking records in Williamstown.
Yeah, he and Bryce both broke records last night, but Bryce, 5 touchdown passes. He ran one in. Engel, I've said it, I dubbed him. The Mount Carmel game, I think I dubbed him as the magician. 7 catches, 142 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that is an amazing statistic. And they're, again, they're another team. They're those big, big plays. We saw that for Nativity last night, and we see that so often with this Williams Valley squad. You're never safe. It doesn't matter where they start their drives from. They usually end up in the end zone.
Well, interesting. It appears that Tim Savage took the opportunity against Panther Valley to tinker a little bit and to try and sharpen that passing game. 20 attempts, 12 completions, 2 interceptions still for those 308 yards through the air. The Vikings rushing game, they only rushed the ball 15 times for 92 yards. So you could kind of see where the emphasis has gone here for Tim Savage's club. You talked about Engel with those big receiving numbers. Wolfgang, 2 catches for 89 yards out of the backfield. Jake Herman returns, 2 catches, 46 yards. And Achenbach reels one in for 31 yards. And Panther Valley last night, they get a big running game out of Clouser, 14 carries, 95 yards. Pasco, who seemed to be lighting up those running statistics, 22 carries for just 68 yards. So the Vikings defense bringing something to the table last night. But the Panther Valley still rips 233 yards on the ground as a team, John. Could that now be the area of concern for Williams Valley coming in next week on Friday night against the Schuylkill Haven Hurricane team, who put up 368 yards on the ground?
Yeah, if you're giving up yards rushing and you know you have to play Schuylkill Haven the next week, you got to get your act together on the defensive side. Now, let's give another shout out in the defensive side to Willard. 40-yard interception return, and he had 2 interceptions in that game. That young man is stepping up his game big time.
You know, and to be honest with you, Logan is not the biggest Viking scrumming the oars there. He's, what, 5'7" maybe?
Stretching.
You know, and 150-some pounds, maybe. And he plays linebacker.
Yeah, we're seeing that more often, Chaz, with some of these guys who don't have the mass. We talk about it so often, the quickness of many of the linebackers we've seen this year, astounding. And some of them don't have those big numbers as far as height or weight. But the quickness, we saw it especially in that Nativity game. Yeah. My goodness.
The way he packed a wallop.
Oh.
You know, we didn't get invited to the plaque ceremony at Williams Valley. Would you believe that the sports director goes out to give those plaques to the school? That community rallied together. There were family members with cameras. The state police showed up en masse, all in their dressed grays, to celebrate the accomplishments of those young men that received the awards from our broadcast of Williams Valley the last time out.
I have to tell you, nothing surprises me about the family atmosphere, the closeness of the people at Williams Valley. I spout that all the time.
I think they gave Bill a celebratory parade through Tower City in Reinerton.
I've heard he's been run out of Tower City a couple times. This is the first time.
He's a changed man. He's a changed man. That hasn't happened in years.
Oh, yeah. Put him in the van with you after a game and you'll find out.
Well, he doesn't like to stick around for our post-game wrap-up. But anyway, let's shift gears now. Let's talk about those Schuylkill Haven Hurricanes who will entertain Williams Valley next week, I believe. That's the game on Friday night.
Friday night. I'm
trying to think because that's what's on our schedule for T102, but not sure if it's going to stay. We'll have to wait and tune in here to WPPA Sports with Jay-Z and the Wake Up Show, or also check out T102radio.com and go to the sports page there to see if we change gears a little bit.
Yeah, and that has happened in the past. Let's be honest, as the season goes on and you start to look at situations that are coming up, sometimes you look and you go, nobody expected this game to be this big, and changes are often made. So stick with us. We'll keep you up to date.
Well, those Hurricanes go into 4-6-2 land and improve to 2-3 on the year, and a big night on the ground for the Hurricane offense. But we'd be remiss not to say the Hurricane defense only allowed 39 yards rushing for Shenandoah Valley and 90 through the air. They only gave up 129 yards in total, while in Mahou rolling up 406 total yards of offense.
Spookelhaven game, big guys coming at you at the line. They go after linebackers. These linemen shoot out, go after linebackers. I mean, they clear the path. And then you get these running backs for Schuylkill-Haven, and they come up big. Gehring again last night, 9 carries, only 9, 186 yards. That's great. But on the other side of the ball, holding any team, I don't care what team it is, to under 40 yards rushing, you know your big guys are getting a job done in the pit.
Indeed, and scoring early and often for the Hurricanes, Connor Gehring with those gaudy numbers. Also, JP had 4 touchdown runs last night.
Yeah, well, one of those was a punt return, and he just does so many things. He's coming up big all the time. Even in their losses, Gehring has had big numbers. He's the real deal.
Indeed, and we're going to talk to Mike Farr about the ball game last night, as well as his youthful squad of Hurricanes. Maybe we can ask him what tripped the trigger, because we saw these Hurricanes in week one, and Gehring was carrying a couple times, but boy, his success has certainly come to the forefront now. As of the past couple weeks, he has just been shredding teams running the football.
Yeah, and Schuylkill-Haven is very similar to Miners. Well, they had lower numbers, but they've had a lot of injuries, and Mike's had to move a lot of kids around. We'll talk to him about that. But that's the essence of a good football team and kids, where you look at a kid and say, you know, I got to tell you something, son. You're not going to catch any passes this week. I know you're a wide receiver, but you're going to be a tackle on Friday night. And these kids rise to the occasion and do what they have to do for the team.
Well, JP, what do you say we take a time out here on Sports Saturday? We'll get ready to see if the ratings increase as Mike Farr is getting a warm drink of water right now and clearing things out to talk all things Hurricane football. Maybe we'll pick his brain a little bit about the decision with the district opt out of the PIAA playoffs.
Absolutely.
As well. He is the president of the Schuylkill League football, so in the Coaches Association in the state, all sorts of things. We'll talk to Mike Farr when we come back on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, around the world at WPPARadio.com. And also, don't forget about the podcast on Anchor.fm, Google, Spotify, and podcast outlets near you.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive through banking and a state of the art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Life is about motion, so orthopedic injuries are just a part of life. Phoenix Physical Therapy helps you rise to new heights after an injury by creating a program focused on you. With direct access, you can easily schedule an appointment at one of our convenient clinic locations in Pottsville, Orwicksburg, Brockville, Pine Grove, or Gratz. Your community selected Phoenix is the proud winner of the 2020 Republican Herald Reader's Choice Award. Your life should be pain-free, filled with activities that you love. With the help from Phoenix, you can recover, recharge, and rise. Visit PhoenixPhysicalTherapy.com. NotreDameFootball.com to schedule your physical therapy visit.
WPPA's coverage of Notre Dame Fighting Irish football continues this Saturday. The Irish, after a couple weeks off, one with a scheduled bye and then the unscheduled bye due to the COVID outbreak, return to the field after a couple of weeks off. They'll be hosting the Florida State Seminoles at Notre Dame Stadium. Kickoff is set for 7:30 this Saturday. We're on the air 1 hour prior with the pregame show. Notre Dame, Florida State, the Fighting Irish play here on WPPA AM 1360 and WPPA 106 FM.
And the Irish on WPPA prime time tonight. Florida State, Notre Dame, 6:30 airtime, 7:30 kickoff. And a man that needs no introduction, known far and wide as the running guru of football, Mike Farr, joining us this morning. Coach, first, before we get into talking about what's going on with your team, let's talk about what's going on today to help support this Hurricane football program.
Yeah, we're having a huge fundraiser today over in Lake Winona. So we got everybody. We got parents club members, players. We're setting up at the lodge area in Lake Winona we're having a cornhole tournament / Chinese auction / alumni picnic. And we're expecting a pretty big day today. So it's going to be an awesome day. So if you're bored and you want some good food and some fun, come on over to Lake Winona in the lodge.
Yeah, and Mike, for the people listening out there, you don't have to be a Schuylkill Haven Hurricane to go to this thing. Look, all programs need money this year. This is a big fundraiser and goes to the kids. So please get out there and support this if you're in the area.
Yeah, it's it. Listen, we're a good time. I heard you guys talking earlier, about the fan support, and that's what's unique that I promote at the state level all the time. People don't realize how unique Schuylkill County is, and if they really want to see a cool atmosphere, come to some games in Schuylkill County, because it's quite unique and it's a lot different than anywhere else you'll go.
Mike, we talk about that often as we travel with T102, the camaraderie with coaches in this area is something I tell people in other areas, and they look at me with that tilted head saying, what do you mean they all help one another? I hear it all the time, and the respect everybody has for everybody else's kids in these programs shines through all the time.
Right. Again, remember, it took me a long time to figure it out, but football is just a game. We're all competitive, but at the end of the day, we're all in this for the kids, give them the best opportunities they can have. And, for me, when I lose sight of that, then it's time for me to move on. So, yeah. And I'm going to speak for all the other coaches, because I know every coach in our area feels the same way. Mm-hmm. We're going to do whatever we can, what's best for the kids, and what's best for each other. And we talk, we help each other out all the time. So, for me, it's that's what's unique about Schuylkill County football.
Mike, and that's one thing I admire about you. The fact that you can go on here and say, it took me a while to figure that out as a coach. Your competitive juices were always there. That hasn't changed. But the way in which you go about your business to look out for all the kids, that's a big deal. And I applaud you for being honest about that, because I think that's the part of things that people don't see, is that behind the scenes stuff and that the conversations you have with people, before and after games and during the week. And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some great coaches in our area. We're very blessed. And, we really should count those blessings every day, because, I get to go around and see a lot of football. I talk to a lot of people. And the passion that our coaches bring to our county and their teams year in and year out is unmatched anywhere in the state.
Oh, I believe that. Now, we saw a good example again last night. Nativity was having their way with Minersville, and Pat Mason, with the chance to knock in another one in the first half, went to victory formation and knelt down twice, and I already mentioned it today, between you and Minersville, they're like MASH units, and you guys are both asking kids to step out of their comfort zones, to play. I used, you know, you get a wide receiver and you look at him and say, you're not going to catch any passes tonight or Friday because you're playing tackle, and your kids buy into it. That's the passion that you ignite in your kids for the good of the whole.
Well, again, they're doing, we're teaching life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So in life, stuff doesn't always just come easy. It doesn't fall in your lap. You got to work hard. You got to make sacrifices. You know, one of the things you have to teach, and every coach talks about, you got to do what's best for the team. And it's a team game, and not one guy is mm-hmm. better than the team. And, you know, those are the things that, we are a MASH unit. But you know what? I'm having a lot of fun this year. This group of kids I have, I've never, you know, a gentleman that was on the chains after the Lehighton game came up to me. I made a mistake during the Lehighton game. It was a costly mistake for us. And, you know, and I called the kids, and I called the timeout, and the kids started to come over. And I could see there was frustration. They were starting to chipper at each other. And then I took the opportunity to say, guys, listen, hold on, time out. I'm an idiot. I made the mistake. It's not anyone's fault. You know, Trent didn't make a mistake. You know, it wasn't Mason Reber. I made the mistake. I'm the idiot. So the coach, this guy comes over after the game. We're all standing there. And I'm going to tell you what, we were a couple plays away from making that game a very, very competitive game. He says, Coach, in front of all the kids, we were just talking. He goes, Coach, can I interrupt for a second? He goes, you know, during the game, you made this comment that you're an idiot. And he says, what you're doing with these guys and the way they played, he says, I've been doing this for a long time. I've never seen a team with the numbers that you have. And the excitement and the way these kids play and fly around, and it just, I mean, they're having a good time. They're having a lot of fun. And, you know, for me, you know, the paper, again, everyone's worried. And everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I'm here to tell you that I am not looking. I don't look at box scores. I don't know how many touchdowns somebody has. I don't look at, you know, they say, oh, we're 2-3. Okay, I really don't pay attention to all that stuff. Now, what I pay attention to is, you know, where are we at in district ratings? Do we have a shot here? Do we have a shot there? And anybody that's coaching me will tell you, that's what I focus on. I don't focus on the fact that we're 1-2 or 2-3 or 4-0, or I don't. For me, with the squad that I have, I focus on what we're going to do every day. How are we going to get better every day? What's the next change? Because I'm at an opportunity where if I have another kid go down, here's the chess pieces I got to move. Okay, well, how do we get those guys this rep? Okay, Brad, I need you to work with Pothering because Pothering's the next offensive tackle. So, you know, if we go down, we got to make sure we get him enough reps so he understands what to do. And, you know, and then I'm working on another quarterback since I lost Trent Creasy last week. You know, so now I'm to my third quarterback, so I'm making sure he's getting reps. I look at wins and losses take care of themselves. I focus on the X's and O's, and I focus on player development. And, you know, I believe if you focus on those things, everything else takes care of itself.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. We had a conversation about how your practice set up, and it was confirmed by Bernie Forgotch. They were using barrels for linemen. That's how little kids they had on the practice field. You guys set up barrels to put in positions because you didn't have enough to make it through practice.
Well, yeah. I mean, what we do is, you know, when we break up in our individual drills, when we have a walkthrough segment for the offensive line, we have barrels that we set up where placement of defensive players. Again, it's just a walkthrough. They're just reviewing, okay, here are our blocking assignments. They just walk through it. And we're at the situation now where when we're, like this week, we're going to prepare for Williams Valley. Well, Williams Valley's front six, five linemen and a tight end, are going to be five blue barrels. And, again, at the end of the day for me, it's about knowing what you got to do, where you got to go. You know, we can still get through the individual one-on-one sessions with guys working on form, you know, form fit, you know, technique. Anybody that's hitting now just hasn't coached long enough to understand that you there's no need to do that. I mean, if you didn't hit before your fifth game or sixth game or whatever, doing it now isn't going to truly add any value. It's just going to promote the opportunity to get, because kids should be banged up by week six to the point where they need rest, they need recovery time. So this is no different than anything we would do, except we would have a human body standing in front of the guy instead of a barrel. So, and then that guy would really just step and protect themselves while we're going through our motions. I couldn't tell you the last time we hit after week three or four in the last 20 years. So, it is what it is. But again, yeah, I don't wake up every day focusing on the fact that, you know, I got 20 kids on the roster, and two of those guys are kickers. I'm not going to wake up every day worrying about that because, you know, I believe attitude reflects leadership. So if I walk around acting like numbers are a big deal, what perception am I giving to my kids? So we're just going to stay positive. We're going to stay competitive. We're really excited about playing Williams Valley. Williams Valley and Nativity are the two best teams in the area, small school teams. We're going to go at it with them. And you know what? We may not be good enough, but we're going to play. We're going to play hard. And we're going to continue to get better. And then we're going to reach that goal of getting in the district playoffs. And then guess what? Then everybody's 0-0, and those records mean nothing. And then we're going to see where it takes us down the road. And that's what we're going to do. And that's my mentality, and I'm not going to change it. And, you know, we're just going to continue to work every day to get better every day.
Yeah, and Mike, you bring up, when you're talking about your kids and you're talking about technique, your numbers aren't that big. It's not the biggest team you've ever had. But, Mike, that what you're doing with your line showed up big time last night. I mean, they opened up huge holes, 28 carries, but 368 yards. That's what you guys do best. And whether it's barrels or humans, the technique you're teaching these kids and your staff is paying off big time in the rushing game.
Listen, we all know that if you really want to do something, doesn't matter how big you are, matters how hard you're willing to work. So, you know, I know size forgives all sins, but these guys work hard. They work hard, and you know, they just keep coming. They're like that little. They're like a gnat. They just keep coming at you. And again, we have what we have. We haven't had a lot of size since probably like the 2013 team. Where we were humongous. So the last time we played Williams Valley, we were enormous across the front. This is just a different style of team. Again, we do the things we do. We don't look the same as we did in previous years. We have different talent than we had before. So, you know, we do stretch you more east and west. You know, we still go vertical like we always do, but it's not, you know, vertical isn't always the first option for us. We have a lot of different things and a lot of different athletes on the team, and we're just utilizing our athleticism and doing what we have to do to be successful. Because we're not going to be able, you know, Kobe's gone. We don't have a Zach Parker. We have really good, skilled running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks and offensive linemen that they're good at certain things. So you have to adapt to the team that you have, and to sit here and think that we're just going to be the ground and pound of the old, it's That would just be foolish. We're just adapting. The numbers may look the same, but I'm telling you, we're getting the numbers in different ways than we've gotten them before.
You know, Mike, you say, you know, this team doesn't look the same as in the years past. To be honest, this team doesn't look the same since we saw your team in week one. You know, Connor Gehring, over the past couple weeks, has shown up. And you've been talking this kid up since he's been a junior high player. You know, playing in the midget program, you couldn't wait for Connor to get up and show what he could do. You said, you know, this kid's going to be an animal when he gets it together. It seems like we saw him in week one. He kind of had some problems. Now, he's ruling the day.
Well, you know, kids, things click for kids in different stages of their life. And, you know, I told you this story the other day. It took Jason Killian his junior year, the Monty game, which in that day and age, it was week 9 or 10. And then all of a sudden, it clicked. And I'm not comparing or saying Connor is a Jason Killian. I'm comparing the situation. And, you know, Connor is an open field type of player that likes to be in space. And Connor and I just had several discussions. And all of a sudden, I think the light bulb went off. And you know, he's playing with a different level of, I don't know, grit. I mean, he's just playing tougher than he was before when he was carrying the football. He was too vertical. You know, we're working on some different things with him, but he's a sophomore. So the kid physically is as physically gifted as anybody in our league. I'll match him up against anybody.
Yeah, and Mike, you referenced, you know, we're getting towards playoff time. You have a couple different roles as a coach, not only locally, but in the state. Can you share with us a little bit about your feelings about what went on as far as district play as opposed to state play, and what took part in that, and how possibly some of the other coaches in the area feel that you talk to?
Well, first of all, the PIAA came out and told us that we weren't going to be playing in any state tournaments, number one. We weren't going to focus. We were going to focus on getting and maximizing our areas and our teams the most amount of games we could. We were going to get them to 10 games, and that was our focus. That was our focus locally. So I know there's coaches that are upset. I've talked to some of them, and I'm just reminding them that our focus was to maximize the games. Now, is it disappointing that all of a sudden the state says, oh, we're going to have a state tournament. We're going to pick one team out of each district classification. We're going to use the rating system, which we all know is, I know it's the best we have, but it is not the greatest rating system. We could have a whole discussion just on that.
You got that right.
But to just pick one team to represent District 11 to go into a state tournament, that's what we would consider maximizing what's best for all of our kids in this county. Other than that, it's just being selfish. And we all voted. We all agreed that we were going to do whatever we had to do to maximize the number of games for our kids. And when District 11 came out with their voting, and it came out that 38 out of the 47 schools voted to stay and maximize the district games in a full district tournament, and then went to the committee, and it was a 20-0 vote. Of course, there's 8 teams that aren't happy with it. But my opinion, my conversations with the guys that I represent, we were all on the same page. So what I have to say about that is, is if you weren't on the same page, then you should have brought it up when we were talking about it and not bring it up now. Because we were all on the same page, and I have the evidence.
Wow.
So we were all on the same page. And every one of us, 16-0, all on the same page. And now everyone has a change of heart. Well, you know, again, picking one team out of everybody, to me, in a flawed system already, I just don't feel that that was in the best interest of our kids, our area. Our Schuylkill County is going to get multiple playoff games in Schuylkill County. Talk about the revenue it's going to generate for our communities. The kids are going to get the atmospheres to play in front of their hometowns, and we're going to get multiple teams represented, not pick one. And who knows where we would be in that standing. You know, maybe you would be fortunate enough to be that number one team, and then everybody else has to figure out how to pick up another couple games. And I'm not sure how that would work out. But the situation that we're in District 11, in my opinion, is the best situation. And the rest of the state, in my opinion, should look how the Schuylkill League took the lead, and we went and we started on time. We're allowing people into the stadiums. We are playing an 8-game schedule. And District 11 then said, you know what? What's best for our kids? Let's play a full district tournament and leave this with a district champion, one that you win on the field, a district champion. And if people don't agree that's the best situation, then they're just uninformed.
Well, you know, when you look at it in that expanded season and the opportunity, should you get bounced in the first round of this, because there is no sub-regional now. So things will be decided, like you said, on the field with every team that earns that spot, and however many are going to be fielded. Like Class A, 4 out of the 5 are going to be there. That's an all Schuylkill League bracket. And that fifth team will have an opportunity to find somebody else out there that doesn't have a game to continue to play if they choose. And that's up to the individual schools to make those decisions. Do they want to get those extra weeks for their kids or not?
Absolutely. Same way with, for example, we get in. Say we lose week one, we lose first round. I'm still able to go play a 10th game. There's nothing stopping me from going out and finding another team who wants to play another game. I'm allowed to go play 10 games.
Yeah, and Mike, I referenced you early this year when everybody was talking about games and what's going to happen, and everybody was screaming, we just want to play, we just want to play. And then when they came out with the schedule, all of a sudden they were going, oh, we don't want to play them. You have played above your classification forever. Mike, you've set a standard with that, and I'll tell you what, it's paid off for this area. We are seeing great games regardless of classification, because they did what you've been doing. And it is, if you're talking about kids playing, I think District 11 did the right thing.
Absolutely. Unquestionably, 100,000,000%, we are on the right path. And if you, and those individuals that disagree, you know, I apologize in advance. I don't agree with you. Again, with the kids, the focus, the area in mind, the decisions that we made locally were the right decisions. And if we voted again today, my vote would still be play district playoffs.
Mike, I have one last question for clarification. Are teams only to go out to 10 games if they're not continuing through the district postseason, or can they go out? Like, I know the reference was Thanksgiving, the end. Are they able to go out and play as many games up until Thanksgiving, or is it still just you get 10 games unless you're in that district tournament?
The original PIAA ruling before COVID was you were allowed to maximize your schedule to 11 games.
Okay.
Meaning, if you were in a 10-game schedule, say you were 0-10, you could still go out and find a week 11 game and play a game. you were allowed to maximize to 11 games. My interpretation of this rule this year for COVID is we are going into the tournament. If you are back out of the tournament before you get a scheduled full of 10 games, you can pick up another game to maximize your schedule to 10. So, for example, if you don't make the tournament and you played 8 games, you technically can go out and find 2 more games to fill up your schedule to 10 games.
Okay.
All right. That's my interpretation.
All right. Well, that makes that clears it up a little bit better for me. But we're up against it time-wise, Coach. Enjoy your afternoon with some alumni and some fundraising, some cornhole, and your favorite food. And thanks for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too. There you have it, John. We'll be back. Wrap up the program here on AM 1360, 106 FM, and around the world at WPPARadio.com. Don't forget about that podcast at anchor.fm.
The folks at Gears Dairy would like to thank all of you for your overwhelming support of our new raspberry tea. No matter the weather, the raspberry iced tea and diet decaf raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Plus, you can enjoy all of their iced teas, fruit drinks, and milk products. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest family-owned dairy. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code FRUITS.
Well, John, that's going to wrap up the program this week.
Oh, we thank Mike. Honest as you can get. That's what you got to hear.
Yeah, straightforward. You know, this is what we're doing. It's best for the kids in our programs. And, you know, those that agreed behind closed doors, don't change the subject when things start to open up for you.
So, it's time to move on.
Speaking of opening up for us, that's going to do it. We want to thank CACL Financial for keeping the program solvent. 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're always open online at caclfcu.org. Also, convenient drive-up services along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Also, Phoenix Physical Therapy, Rise, Recover, Recharge at Phoenix Physical Therapy and Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road in the city. Well, outside the city of Pottsville. That's going to do it. The Saturday Morning Oldies Show is coming up next right here on WPPA Pottsville and Translator W290 DP Pottsville.